This B Podcast Network show is presented by IXL. IXL's all-inclusive online teaching and learning platform simplifies EdTech needs and accelerates achievement in 95 of the top 100 U.S. school districts. IXL delivers personalized learning across a comprehensive pre-K to 12 curriculum, including math, language arts, science, and social studies, and it helps you assess student performance through actionable real-time insights at every level of your school or district. This one solution performs work that typically requires dozens of different tools. Want to find out why so many leading districts trust IXL? Visit IXL.com/BE. That's IXL.com/BE.
TL Talk Radio, Season 7, Episode 18. Welcome to Season 7, Episode 18 of TL Talk Radio. I'm Lynn Puni Hatton.
And I'm Randy Zickenfuss. Today, in this episode, we're speaking with Dewey Rossetti, author of Parenting Bright Kids Who Struggle in School. The book, Parenting Bright Kids Who Struggle in School, guides parents through the challenging and often unfamiliar landscape of raising kids who've been labeled with learning differences, such as dyslexia, ADHD, autism, sensory processing disorder, and more. Dewey is an author, speaker, consultant, and founder and president of Parents Education Network.
So welcome to our podcast, Dewey.
Thank you so much. It's nice to meet both of you, and thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. So let's kick off our conversation today with a personal story about how you became interested in the topic of bright kids who struggle in school.
Well, that's a long story, so I will summarize as best I can. Originally,
I did read it.
You did.
I did read the story when we were researching you. So
you know how long it takes to get through this, and it's pretty emotional. But I'm going to cut it way down.
Okay.
My daughter Melissa is the subject, actually, of the first two chapters of my book, and that explains how I got into it. And I wasn't looking for an interest in this field. I didn't know anything about it, as most parents. I think I have a very typical experience. That I explained. But originally, Melissa came home. She had been queen of the kindergarten class because she is very athletic and very strong and big personality when she was little. And all of a sudden, I sent her to the private girls' school where my older daughter was. And she came home the second week of kindergarten and sobbed, fell apart, which was never her style. And she said, I can't sound it out. All of the girls in the school, in the class can sound it out and I can't. And of course, if it were now, I would have snatched her right out of the class and said, okay, we're going to look into this and figure out what else is wrong. But of course, back then, she's 30 years old now. So that was a long time ago. That was kind of the start of a long journey for me. To figure out, A, why she couldn't sound it out and what that actually meant, and B, it was really made much worse by the fact that her emotional stability really went away during that period when I was trying to explore. And so we kept her in that school, and this is where I wear my hair shirt. We kept her in that school for 4 years, and she didn't learn to read from kindergarten through third grade. And that's when her personality fell apart. So I got pulled into the social emotional understanding of what happens to kids when they struggle. And I was not prepared, and our family was not prepared. But the silver lining was when we found the right school for her, which was a school for kids with dyslexia, it benefited the whole family. I became immersed in the school. It's about an hour from San Francisco. And we drove down every day and drove back, and we became very close, my daughter and I. And I got to understand who she was. But more importantly, she learned to read and she blossomed. She was there 5 years and I blossomed. I developed not just an interest, but a passion in neurodiversity, to use the larger term. And I learned so much. I didn't know anything about dyslexia, ADD, any of these differences. And I had no idea how gifted these kids could be. So it was my education, and that's where my passion began, at that school, which is called the Charles Armstrong School.
So your personal story and your background really lays the context for your experiences, and you're writing this book around learning challenges. So on your website, we noticed some words: at least one in five people in the United States has learning challenges. So from your perspective, why is that? Why is that that kids who learn differently and parents of kids who learn differently often feel so alone?
The reason they do is because of the stigma. There is still a stigma, and there is enormous misunderstanding of what it means to have a different kind of brain. And I always say, do you think Chuck Schwab is less intelligent than someone else? Or do you think Steve Jobs suffered from, you know, lack of cognition? I mean, that's where the breakdown is with people understanding about differences in learning. They actually just assume. And I did too. I mean, Melissa is adopted, and I thought in the beginning, maybe she's not actually bright enough to do a certain kind of school, maybe. And of course, I couldn't have been more wrong, and thank God I didn't assume that. But very high cognition often accompanies this kind of different brain. It's just different, and they need different kind of teaching. But that's why they're isolated. People don't understand them. They're different. They need different kinds of education and different kinds of curriculum. And it's so isolating, because people just assume all kinds of things. They have weird personalities. They're antisocial. They're this and that. And that's where the isolation comes from. And also, oftentimes, bad behavior. Because when you feel disenfranchised as a young kid, and especially as a teenager, if it all hits you later when you're in middle school and high school, I mean, you could get into really bad behavior, which is very difficult to manage and undo.
Yeah, that's once you sort of live those bad behaviors and create that, the opportunity for those behaviors to occur and continue, it does become difficult, right?
Oh, it becomes overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And you really, I mean, the place that people go, I believe, is to their parenting, and they think mm-hmm. they've done something wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a parent, I still am, you know, as active as I can be with this virus, I'm still talking to a lot of parents. And I had one say to me, she wondered if her dyslexic daughter was dyslexic. She had twins, and one was dyslexic and one not. And she said she wondered if it had to do with the fact that she used in vitro fertilization to get pregnant.
Goodness.
Oh, please. I mean, you just look everywhere to blame, you know, blame, because this kid is struggling. It's very, you know, I don't have to say how hard it is to watch your child struggle like that. Mm-hmm. And the social emotional fallout that occurs, which is extremely well explained in my book, because that was the hardest part of it for us, was 4 years of, as I said before, my daughter, Melissa, falling apart and becoming a very different kind of child. And she didn't really get back to her real personality, which is delightful, until she started to learn down at the Charles mm-hmm. Armstrong School. And I would say it was the seventh grade. So that was, what, you know, 4 years of not being herself.
So let's jump back into the book. How does this book support parents?
In a different way from all the books out there. And that was my mission. Was I had met Todd Rose along the way, and he has a very different way of looking at individual as kids as an individual. And I started to, that's when my parenting changed, I think. And I started to understand that Melissa should not be compared. No child should be compared to others. And our system, which we're very unaware of, unless our kids don't fit into it. Our system requires a ranking according of all the kids in the class who are supposed to learn in this very tight way that's compared to an average kid. And the average kid doesn't exist, of course. So Todd proves that in his work and in his books. And when I met him and realized that we parents are missing a tool, which is how do I look at and judge my child's progress according to his or her potential. And the book that he, where he explains this, is called The End of Average. And I encourage parents.
We're familiar, yes.
because you know John Rose. I think he is a gift to this community. And when I started to work with him, I actually couldn't go back to the way I had been thinking about her, which was she's just one of a small minority of kids who are better. That's how, you know, that's really how it is presented to you when you have a child who learns differently. 80% of the class, you are told, or most of the kids, sometimes schools exaggerate and say, oh, she's one of only 10, you know, two or three who aren't with the curriculum the way we're supposed to. Well, we know that's not true. We know it's probably one out of five in every population who is learning differently, but we're not given a way to look at the child until Todd came along and talked about the science of the individual. And he gave me permission after I had worked with him for quite a while, and Penn, the organization that I started, had worked with him for quite a while. He gave me permission to write about his science of the individual for the parent audience, because the book, The End of Average, has a lot of science in it, and it's not above anybody's head, but it might not be what you want to read when you're struggling with your child and you're very emotional. So my book is kind of a layperson's understanding of where education is wrong about how to deal with kids who think differently and how you can support them as a parent. And it introduces the science of the individual. And in addition, I just think it's a very hopeful book. A lot of people get kind of think it's the end of the road for their kids academically when they get a diagnosis, which is, you know, a very negative way to look at neurodiversity. It's just that your kid is different and learns differently. So I try to explain in a hopeful way that, you know, calm down. Don't take this the way it's given to you. Look at it in a more positive way. And here's some science to back up your understanding of how your kid learns. And that's how I am trying to support parents. It's a short book on purpose, because nobody wants to read a tome when they're in the middle of an emotional experience, like they've been thrown, you know, this curve for their child's education. And it, I think it's, it gives, I give a lot of examples in it of all the successful people. And I said before, Chuck Schwab, I mean, who's going to say that this man, there's something wrong with him? He had, of course, he had struggles in school, and thank God he came out and talked about them. So you can get on the internet now, which is very different from when I was raising Melissa, and you can see, you can listen to these wonderful people explain how hard it was for them at school, and you can identify, and more importantly, I think, tell your kids, say, look at this guy. We did that actually with Melissa, because we knew that my husband knew Chuck, knows Chuck Schwab. And he said to her, you know, here's Chuck Schwab, my friend. He learns differently. And he was on the cover of Fortune magazine as a 15-year-old. It was an article about dyslexia. And those kinds of things can get you through this. Plus your child's strengths, how to figure out your child's what we call jagged profile. And it gives them a lot of empowerment over, and you, empowerment. And you look at your child's strengths, and you feel not overwhelmed by the negative language that comes along with what they call a diagnosis, which I think is a very bad start to the whole thing, to say it's a diagnosis. It's not a medical problem. It is something that can be dealt with actually easier and easier now that different kinds of schools are coming on. Mm-hmm.
So we love that connection to Todd Rose's work, and it's definitely a framework or way of thinking that helps us to better understand those with learning challenges. And you mentioned the jagged profile. So dig a little deeper into that, Dewey. How can parents take this concept of the jagged profile and better understand their special learners?
So the jagged profile is one of three concepts of the science of the individual. And I think it's the most important one. And the concept says, the principle says, that everyone, each person, has a profile of strengths and weaknesses, challenges, whatever word you want to use. Everyone has strengths, therefore. It doesn't matter if your cognition is what they call average. You know, IQ is measured with one number, which in and of itself is very strange and not very helpful, and doesn't mean very much. And it is measured in one day or 2 days on a test. So this is a very robust way to look at your child's personality and skills and things that you can develop in them, strengths and weaknesses. And if you look at, and my book has an example of what this might look like if you've graphed it, and it is very comforting to look at, for example, what your teachers are telling you about your child, and then graph it. Where are the strengths? Where are the breakdowns? And so you get to know your child with regard to, you know, with respect to who he or she is and what their basic abilities are. And more importantly, they get to understand where their breakdowns are and how they can use their strengths to work around them. It is a very robust concept and one that I think is so important for parents to start to use. I would love to change all the language in these conferences and say, here's your child's basic profile, because it doesn't have any judgment in it. It's not, oh, this is where your child can't do the work and has to be remediated. It immediately gives you an impression that this child is a complex person, which they all are, we all are. And here are the things you should focus on, which is another change that you can use. Don't focus on the bad stuff, on the stuff that's hard for that child. Focus on the things that make life easier, and then use that. And so use that to scaffold the things that are hard.
More of a strength.
So that's the first concept. And I go on about it because I think it could change everything in schools if we use this kind of language. And that's really what, and certainly at home, it is wonderful for a child to grow up thinking I'm very complex and this is who I am, instead of saying I can't, you know, I'm not a person who can read. I'm a bad person. I mean, and I'm not smart. So, but the other two concepts complement that and really are entangled with it, which is the second one that I think is very important as well, and we miss it a lot in looking at kids' strengths, is that context matters way more than we realize. And the example that Todd uses in his work is, you know, a pitcher who, I mean, sports are easy, I think, for a lot of kids too. For analogies, a pitcher looks at a ballpark and says, this kind of ballpark is much better for the curveball that I do because of the wind and the way I can use the wall that's closer to, you know, all the dynamics of a physical space work better for my kind of pitching than, you know, another ballpark, for example. So that's a physical difference. But if I like to speak, for example, to a smaller group like 50 parents than I do an auditorium, that it says to me, I should just accept speaking assignments when I get to do one again with people after the pandemic. I should accept speaking assignments that actually have these small groups where I can make a connection. And it makes my life easier. So I hope I'm explaining how robust this whole way of looking at people is and how helpful it would be to your child to observe and say, you know, this is a better context for you when you're trying to do this or that. You need a quiet room to take a test. There's nothing wrong with that. Let's ask for it. So that's context. And then the third is pathways. And one of the things that's so ingrained, I think, in our way of looking at education, and it is so daunting, is that there's only one way to be successful. You have to do well at school. You have to do well at every subject. You have to do well with your friends. You have to actually be this Renaissance person who can do it all, but then you have to be better than everyone else. So it's just such a once you understand Todd's thinking and the science behind it, you realize that this is impossible and it doesn't make any sense. So, you know, if you tell your child what their profile is, if you make them comfortable with it and give them control over what pathways they take and which kinds of things they want to pursue that have to do with their strengths and interests, how much better is that? It seems to me it just makes perfect sense. And
that is a great spot to jump in. It absolutely makes perfect sense. And it's interesting to hear your connections, and especially to Todd's work. Randy and I have both appreciated that work over the course of our careers. And that book was a game changer. So before we invite you to share what's next for you, are you ready for our rapid response questions? And the purpose of these questions is to find some more resources for our listeners so that they have some more rabbit holes to jump down and learn more things about. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Excellent, Dewey. Here we go. First question, who's one expert our listeners should connect with to learn more about how parents can support their struggling learners?
If you really want practical ways of looking at your child and understanding and being hopeful about your child, I think the most important person to consult with, you know, that he has a lot of books. He has now so many YouTubes and TED Talks and so forth, is a man named Ned Halliwell out of Harvard. And he announced to all of us recently that he has turned 70. So he's been in the field a long time. And he is the most delightful speaker. And if you could ever get close to a place where he's speaking, you shouldn't miss him.
All right. Excellent. We'll check that out. And we'll link to Ned in some of his resources in our show notes for our listeners. And next question. If you were recommending one book to our listeners, what would it be?
I'm not this person normally, but in all humility, I would say it, for the very first book that you pick up when you hear the words, your child is not learning like the others, I would say mine might take some anxiety away. Besides that, I do think that there are two people who write about learning differences or being different in a more general way. And I'm really for that. I'm for the general understanding of where does my child fit in the world. There is a set of books by Sam Goldstein and Dr. Bob Brooks. And they're both out of Harvard as well. And they are, once again, on the older side, they've been in the field a long time. I think for specifics about dyslexia and ADHD, people would want to read David Flink's
book. All right. Excellent. We will add all of those great suggestions to our show notes for our listeners. Last question. What online site or resource do you learn from regularly?
There's a site called understood.org.
Understood.org. Excellent. We will link that into the show notes as well.
All right, Dewey. So thanks so much for being here. Before we wrap up our conversation, what's on your radar? What's coming up that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I would like people to encourage people to write to me on email if they are interested in starting a conversation again. Because my interest never wanes. And the more I hear from parents who need answers or who are struggling or who have found wonderful solutions, the more fired up I get and more interested again. What I have learned in the short time since my book has been published and when I've been talking to others is that there is still a need for the organization that we started and we actually gave to another larger organization about 5 years ago. And people say there is a void in giving the kind of information that we gave for parents and faculties and so forth by having speakers. And maybe it would have a different format now, but I think there is room for an organization that we had called Parents Education Network, PEN, to help parents and support them. And I think the difference would be this time that it would be run and organized and started and would have a very different form, I know, by the young people that we saw grow up and talk about in our organization, talk about their differences and become very successful adults. And I know several here in the Bay Area. I would love to reach out across the country and say, let's do it on Zoom and let's find some people, young people interested in sharing their story and helping other people, young people who are struggling. in school and tell them that it's going to be okay and tell them how it's going to be okay. I just think that would be so empowering for everyone.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that.
Building networks. Well, we'll see if we get any takers from your podcast with us today. So it's been great having you here.
I'd be thrilled if you did. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Dewey. We've listed many of those resources in the show notes, as well as Dewey's Gmail address, so you can connect with her directly. Each episode, we leave you with a question to think about with the idea of provoking reflection and conversation. This episode's question: how can we better understand all of our learners' strengths and needs? If you've enjoyed this episode, would like to comment or check out the resources shared today, visit the show notes at tltalkradio.org and look for episode 18 in season 7. That's all for this episode. We'll be back next week with another conversation featuring other innovative thought leaders. Thanks again, Dewey.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Thank
you. Bye-bye.
Do you want to simplify your school's technology, save teachers time, and improve students' performance on state assessments? You can do it all, but don't waste another minute. Head straight to IXL.com/BE to learn how IXL's research-proven teaching and learning platform can help you achieve all of these goals. That's IXL.com/BE.